Hey guys, welcome to the Makeup Mentor Podcast. My name is Anita. I am your money mindset coach and makeup mentor. This is a podcast where we talk little about makeup and we actually talk all about the business side about being a freelance makeup artist. The beauty industry is a $500 billion industry and we're tapping into it simply just by believing that we can. So if you have the limiting belief that we can't make money in this industry, this podcast is for you. I'm not only going to tell you all the things that I've learned the hard way, but I'm also going to be bringing on the experts in the beauty industry to go over their tips, tricks, strategies, and stories so that you can take your business to the next level. Now, without further ado, let's get right to it. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Makeup Mentor Podcast. I'm super, super excited for you guys to hear who I have on my podcast today in this amazing conversation that we have all about the film industry. I already know we're going to have to do a part two. So if you've been tuning into my social media, you would probably know who I'm talking about, but her name is Alicia. She is not only an amazing makeup artist when it comes to the film industry, she is the go-to person to answer all of your questions, but she is also the founder of the Makeup Artist Planner. If you're not already following them on social media, I'm going to give them a million shout outs because this is a planner that every single person, not only makeup artists, but also hair, like if you're in the industry, you need this planner. And I'm not even just saying that. So I mentioned it in the episode, but I actually use this planner as a bonus for the last round of the Makeup Mentor Mastermind because that's how much I love it. It is so amazing when it comes to scheduling your money, your finances, manifesting. It has all the notes on there when it comes to what brands you can get discounts on. It's got color theory. I'm telling you, this is like a necessity if you are a makeup artist or hairstylist or if you're in the industry. I'm telling you guys, it has everything. So I'm super, super excited to get into this episode because we talk not only a lot about the film industry, we talk about her persistence when it comes to doing something that she loved. I also want to talk about the fact that she quit these jobs within an instant. She knew for a fact that they were not serving her, but she also knew for a fact that she could get another job if she really, really had to. I love her passion when it comes to following something that felt really good for her. We also talk about letting people go when it comes to the journey of following a passion for you. So again, people are one of the biggest energy blocks, and this is a huge part of her story as well. We also talked about what it's like doing makeup on set. She talked about how she got fired by a director. We also talked a little bit about the physical makeup that we're doing, how you're creating a character instead of doing beauty makeup. So there's all different types of routes to go when you're becoming a makeup artist, but she gives all of the amazing examples of how to really tell if something is for you or not. So speaking of things that are for you and for not, and really tuning into your intuition, which is a lot what we're going to be talking about on this podcast, I just want to bring up something that I am super, super excited about and where all of my energy is going for the month of February. So if you've been following along with the podcast or tuning into my social media, you would know that we are about to launch the next round of the Makeup Mentor Mastermind. So I love working with you guys when it comes to a group environment and teaching you guys all the things about how manifestation really applies to your business. So if you're new to the podcast and you don't know what the Makeup Mentor Mastermind is, this is a program that I launch just a few times a year, and I work with a very, very small amount of you guys, teaching you guys every single thing that I know about manifesting, business, strategy, structure, marketing, social media, literally everything that I personally wanted to know when it came to being new in this industry, I put all in one place. So you're not only be doing this work with me, but you're going to be doing it in a group environment. So again, I'm only working with a very, very small amount of people. If this even lights you up just a little bit, make sure you get on the wait list now. So the doors are going to open February 22nd, 222. You guys know I'm really big on my angel numbers. And the doors are only going to be open for 6 days. So take intuitive action, get on the waitlist right now and see if you are aligned with this program or not. All right, so without further ado, let's get to this amazing episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Makeup Mentor Podcast. So I just got done giving you an amazing intro. I'm super, super excited that we finally get to record our conversations because every time I talk to you, I just want to keep talking forever, but I know both of our schedules are so busy. So I have Alicia here. I'm super, super excited to have you on the podcast. And how is your morning going so far?
It's so good. It's so fun to have this conversation this morning with you. I know every time we talk, we just go and go. record it.
Isn't this great? And I'm excited that we get to talk about film industry and then also the stuff that you're doing outside of it. Like you're just an awesome example of like doing all the stuff that lights you up. I don't know. You're just so fun for me. Okay, so before we get into all of the fun stuff, the story, how you've manifested every single thing when it comes to being in the film industry, and with the planner, I wanted to just go over or go do a quick rapid fire question. So this is going to help warm us up for the interview a little bit, and everyone's going to get to know you just a little bit better.
Awesome.
Yay. Okay, so the first question is, how old were you when you first started doing makeup?
Oh, I think 16.
And was that like you just on yourself, or was that like with other people too?
No, I actually never really wore makeup other than I thought I was super punk rock. So it was not very good. And I wasn't really thinking about it as being good. But I took a theater class in high school, and we had to do set design, makeup design, and costume design. And I was like, oh my God, I love this, when we got to the special effects stuff.
Oh, and did you grow up in LA?
I didn't. I grew up in the Bay Area.
Oh, you know, it took me forever to figure out where the Bay was. Like, everybody would talk about it, but I had no idea. Like, I'm like, what's the Bay? And now I get it.
Yep.
All right. My second rapid fire question for you is, how did you learn how to do makeup?
Oh, I think just doing it at first, because I did go to school eventually. But when I first started doing makeup, it was just kind of like theatrical. So we were doing a lot of like scar wax and stuff that you would see very far away on a stage. So I kind of learned that way. And then just taking a lot of photographs of it and then looking at it and dissecting my own work. And then when I got to college, I was like, I don't like this at all. Like, going to college, it was not made for me. I'm too creative, and I just didn't have a direction. So I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing here right now. So then I was like, you know what? I got to get good at makeup, and I don't know how to, I'm not a great self-teacher in some aspects of like creative visual arts. So I was like, I got to find a school. I'm going to go to school. So that's how I learned.
Ooh, I love that. So my second to last rapid fire question for you is, who is your favorite makeup artist?
Oh man.
Isn't it hard?
Wow. It's like a pop quiz. Well, you know what's funny? I've never really sat and thought about it. I have so many, like so many. Whew, that's a toughie. You know, I would say one of the artists that inspired me the most growing up that I wasn't aware of would be Michelle Burke. She's a film artist. She did Dracula, the dope ass Dracula. So I would say probably Michelle Burke, just because she sort of inspired me to work in film, and all of her makeups inspired me. And I could listen to that woman talk all day. It doesn't matter what she's on. If I find a clip of her, I'm watching it.
Wow. What do you like about her? Like, what are some qualities?
She just seems so unexpected. And I feel like maybe that's why I gravitate to her a little bit. So like, when you listen to her talk or you see her, you're like, okay, like, she's a makeup artist. And she just does these beautifully subtle, intricate makeups that have like all this storytelling within them. And they're just, all of her work is just so clean and inspiring. And especially for her being a makeup artist in the time of like the boys club, when it was mostly men, and she was still holding her own. It's just so impressive.
I love that. The reason why I asked that question is because whatever it is you see in her is what is in you. So when you listen back to that, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm describing myself. That's great though.
Oh man, that's crazy.
She's going to hear this episode. She's going to be like, oh, I can't believe someone is like so inspired by me. So that's awesome.
It's crazy. She's just so good.
So my last rapid fire question for you is, what is your favorite foundation?
Oh, this is another really good one. Okay. I have to give you two because they're sort of different. So my all-time favorite cream foundation, I learned with it, so I just love it so much, is the Joe Blasco cream foundation. Obsessed with it. It can do anything. It can be tinted moisturizer all the way to full coverage, like cake face. I'm obsessed.
Wow.
But I've also been using that product since I graduated makeup school in 2005. So I'm just
hooked on it. If he ever gets rid of it, I'm going to scream. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then my other favorite would be the Giorgio Armani Luminous Silk Foundation. Is it Luminous Silk? Is that what it's called?
Oh, gosh. I am like not the one to tell you how to pronounce anything.
I depot it. So I don't even write. I just wrote Giorgio Armani on it. You guys know the one. The liquid. Nice. So if I'm using liquid, that's my favorite. And I was super opposed to using that. Fun story. I just was like, I'm not going to spend $68 or whatever it is. And it's like $72 a bottle on this. Like, I don't get the hype. It's just Armani. So people want it, right? And I was on this movie and this actress special requested it. And she wanted like that and then Josie Maran argan oil for her face. And I was like, I don't understand why we're doing all this. Like, this is, I was just so inconvenienced on the day. And literally we get to set. I put it on her the first day and I was like, oh, I know why now.
Oh, so
it totally changed my mind. And I was like, okay, she wasn't being the most. I was just being inconvenienced. And now I can't live without this stuff. Great. This is your fault.
Don't you love that when you get to see what somebody else is like using?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my favorite. Yay. Now I'm writing this down for my kit. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited.
Do a kit split with somebody. So buy it and then just like take half the bottle, give the other half of the bottle to the other person. That way it's only like $35 for you.
See, you're so efficient. I love this already.
Well, it's like, especially on some shades, you're not going to go through all of them. And I will say with the Armani, you don't need every single color. You literally do not. You just need like a few of each because they're like in 0.5 and 0.25s. So you can really rack up a nice hefty bill.
So another thing I wanted to get into was how you just said that you went to college and this was not the thing for you. What were you going to school for?
I don't even know. I was going to school because that's what you do, right? So I graduated high school and I'm like, okay, I guess the next step is college. And I kind of already think, looking back, that I was disinterested in even going to college. Because really, I didn't have a direction. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to take the SATs. I'm just going to go to a JC and do that for 2 years. And then we'll see what I fall in love with, right? So I was just like, maybe I'll do theater. And I was trying to get into the theater program at my junior college, but I had missed the audition period. So I was like, okay, I'll just wait a semester. So I did summer school because I was just trying to get it done. I was really efficient as a kid. I always did summer school just to get some credit out of the way. So I went to summer school. I did an English class. And in that English class, my teacher was like trying to help guide us to find some sort of direction, for God's sake.
Please, at the time,
like, oh, yeah. And at the time I'm like, oh, cool. An essay. Like, yay. But she was literally like, pick any job in the world, real or fake. If you think it could be a job, research it and write me an essay about what it is that you want to do. Cause I think honestly, she was trying to help us find like a major. So I thought about it and I was like, well, the only thing I really liked doing at the time was performing because I was in a band. And
oh my gosh.
fun fact. And I was like, and I mean, I didn't take that ever serious enough to like really go somewhere with that. It was just for fun. I was like, so that's dumb. I'm not going to write about that. And I'm like, I really like doing makeup. That was a lot of fun. And I'm like, I'll look into this. So I started writing to all of these like huge makeup artists. Like now I'd probably be like, wow, I can't believe I wrote a letter to that person. But nobody wrote me back. There was one artist who wrote me back. Cause I was like, is this a thing? Like you're a makeup artist. Like, what does this mean? And this one person wrote me back and was like, listen, go to school. I went here. She went to Joe Blasco. So I was like, I'm going to go to Joe Blasco. That's awesome. And she was like, it's this chick named Bobby Weiner. She does like, she goes by Bloody Mary. She had a line in Hot Topic forever of like just gothic, like blood capsule makeup and, you know, kind of gothy girl stuff. But she does a lot of moulage, which for people that don't know what that is, it's kind of like injury simulations for like emergency responders. So she does it a lot for the Army too. She's the number one supplier to the US government for Army paint, like green and, you know, all the colors of Army paint.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, you're so cool. Like, and she was a lot older and she had told me, listen, I got into makeup when I was a lot older. Go to school. And I was like, okay, cool. So then I was like, I'm just going to do it. And so I just had my heart set on that school. And even though I toured two others, I'm like, no, Bobby told me I have to go to Joe Blasco. That's where I'm going. Wow. So yeah, that's kind of how I found my direction. I did do one more semester because I was saving up, because now I was like, oh, I got to pay for school. So I saved up for a whole semester. So I worked in, I still went to school, but I can't, I think I took like a theater class, like a stage direction class. I don't even know. I took like two or three theater classes, and that's how interested I was in it. I just wanted to do makeup.
Oh my gosh. I'm so caught up on the letters. Like, what? This is so cool.
I know. And even to this day, like, you kind of won't get, like, people who are now are trying to get into the industry. God, I can't even imagine, because there's so much access to these people on all these social media platforms. But honestly, like, it just took one person who wasn't even doing film. Like, she wasn't even a film artist. I just thought it was so cool that this, like, makeup artist who got paid to do this wrote me back. Yeah, it was just crazy. So keep, you know, keep, if anybody out there is trying to get advice from an artist, just keep writing to people and somebody will be like, I'm going to help this kid out.
Yeah. And then if you think about it, it's like, you know, we see how we see other people when they ask us for advice and we're like, oh my gosh, let me give you the world and everything that, like, yes, I struggled with. And it's the same thing when you actually connect with these people, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay. I'm so curious of, like, how did you get into actually doing makeup? Like, how did you get your foot in the door after you made the decision that I'm going to be a makeup artist? Like, what was your first step?
Okay. So, this will be a very hopeful story for people who don't know people in the industry. So
thank goodness.
I know. And I feel fortunate to be able to, like, inspire people this way, because I kind of just have done this my own way the whole time I've been doing makeup, and I've been doing this for 17 years now. So I basically, don't know anybody here. I didn't know anybody in LA. My family is just very blue collar. My dad was like a truck driver for a gas company. My mom does insurance. Like, we don't know people in Hollywood. And I'm from the Bay, so it wasn't too far away. So I was still in close enough proximity. If I ever got in trouble, I could go home. So I did have that as a safety net. But granted, the Bay Area is like 7.5 hours away from LA. So it's not like I can just go down the street to my mom's house, you know? So my parents were not cool with this. They were like, my dad literally was like, if you go do this, you pay for it yourself. Because he was like, this is a joke. Like, good for you, teenager, you dumb dumb, like, go to LA and spend 20 grand on school. Like, and I'm like, fine. Okay. And my whole life, I've been the kind of person that, like, you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do it twice. So right. I was like, okay, then I'll put myself through school then. That's fine. And so I just saved all my money. I worked a really crappy job. I transferred that crappy job when I moved to LA to go to school. And then while I was in school, they were doing these extra workshops at the end of the day every day. You could stay for an extra 2 hours on your own time if you wanted to do like a special skill. So like one day it would be like a lash strip. One day it would be like lash individuals. And I was like, I'm missing out on all this stuff these guys are learning because I have to go to my crappy retail job. And I was like, fuck it, I'm quitting. So I was so mad after like 2 weeks of missing these workshops. Cause I'm like, everybody's so far ahead of me. And my program was 11 weeks. So I'm like, I'm just going to quit my job. So I had savings. So I was like, fine. You don't realize how quick you'll burn through that stuff though.
Especially in LA. Anyway,
yeah. So I came here. I was dating somebody at the time. He moved here with me cause he was like, fine, we're out of high school. Like, let's just go look for a new opportunity. I'll come with you. And so I had a roommate technically. Which made it a little bit easier on me, I guess. But I basically was like, at the time, on Craigslist all of the time. So I'm going through school. I'm not really trying to meet anybody while I'm in school because I'm just not confident enough at the time. I'm like, okay, I'll be the person who meets people when I get out. So I went through the 11-week program, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to take advanced special effects now. And I originally hadn't wanted to sign up for that. It was another 6 or 7 week program. So again, I'm like extending all this time. I'm not working. I'm taking this special effects class, which I'm so glad that I did. And then I get out of school and I'm like, shit, I need a job, because I couldn't find anybody to trust this 19-year-old kid with brushes to be on a film set. I just didn't know anybody. And I'm like on Craigslist sending resumes, just like, hi, I just graduated makeup school. You have this movie. What do I do? And like, that's the one thing that schools don't really go over is like how you get your foot in the door if you want to go in whatever path you want to. you just kind of have to figure that stuff out for yourself. And at the time, again, we don't have Instagram. We have Facebook, but it's just now starting. Like it's brand new. There's no Facebook groups. It's just basic Facebook. So you're relying on things like Mandy.com and Craigslist for jobs. And it was a plenty, I will say that, but nobody would give me a chance. So I just kept on being persistent. I went and got a job at Friends Beauty because I was like,
wow,
cool. I know, it's really funny. It's a very random thing. I was not there very long, but I went there in the hopes of maybe I'm working there, an industry artist will come in and then we'll get talking and then it'll be like, oh, cool, now I'm working for you. Like in my head, because I'm 19, I'm like, this is how it works, right? So I really wanted like an opportunity, and I cannot remember what the ad was for, but I think somebody needed somebody to cover them on a job. And they wrote a thing on Craigslist, like, hey, I have this like student film coming up. I cannot do it. If you're interested, let me know. And so I wrote this girl and she was like, hey, meet me in person. I want to make sure that like, you're cool. And I was like, okay, cool. So I met her at Hollywood and Highland and we just like went shopping together for a little bit. And we're talking and she was really cool. And she's like, listen, I do all these student films with UCLA and I'm moving into, I'm like, if she's ever hearing this, she's gonna be like, you're talking about me, but I'm not gonna say her name. she was moving into doing like porn makeup. So she was just like, I'm gonna give you these student films if you'd like them. Because I'm moving into making money, basically, is all that means.
Yeah, there's a lot of money.
who gives a shit what people are doing? And paint a dead body, I don't care. But anyway, she was like, I'm going to move over to this industry. I really need to give these films off. Like, do you want them? And I'm like, yes, give me whatever you can. And so she gave me my very first short film. And I really wanted this opportunity. Like, I can't even explain to you. So I got in an argument with my boss at Friends because I was like, I really need 3 days off in a row to do the short film. Like, I need this day off. You know, and I get it. Retail is retail. Now I get it in perspective. Like, you need your people to be at work. So it is very tough to find a window of time to give off when nobody else is available. So I, with my giant 19-year-old balls, was like, I quit.
Oh my gosh. I'm so
I have to go to this movie. I know. So I was like, I have to go do this movie. And in my head, I was just like, listen, I got one retail job. I walked in here, got this job. Like, I could do anything, right? I had I had like no fucks, honestly.
Were you getting paid for this short film?
Yeah, it was only $50 a day.
Okay. This is so funny. Oh my gosh,
five,
I love it.
50. But honestly, I was working retail and it was like part-time. I'm sure I wasn't making much more than that. So to me, it probably made sense, but I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have this job for 3 days. Hopefully I get something else. Right. I'll figure it out. And I still had a little bit of money in the bank and I still had my roommate, pseudo roommate there, my boyfriend. So I was like, okay, I'm okay. So I do this job for $50 a day and I'm in love. I'm like, I have to do this every day. Oh my God. And I was so excited to be there. And because I was so excited, because I was new and everything was new and I was learning so much and I'm like very quiet. So I'm like, people aren't going to like me because I'm really introverted. At the time I was a lot more so when I was a kid, but I kept thinking like, nobody's going to get to know me because I'm so quiet, but I'm really just trying to learn. Like, I'm trying to listen to the way all these guys talk to each other. And then I was completely wrong. They really loved that I was very excited and kept asking questions while I was there. And then somebody else on the crew was like, hey, my thesis is shooting next week. Do you want to work on that? And I was like, God, yes. And so I got another 3 days of work. And then it turned out all of these kids in this program all work on each other's thesis films. So I literally worked on UCLA thesis films for like 6 months straight. And I'm not even kidding you.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was like $50 to $75 a day. Like, we're not talking a lot of money, but I was getting tons of experience. And let me tell you, these kids are so artistic. Like, the things that I saw them doing, it just blew my mind. And I'm like, wow, this cinematography is actually good. Like, this looks like real movies. So I'm getting all this really great real material that looks expensive. Like, these projects don't look cheap and janky, like with an iPhone. These people, and also too, let me backtrack. We're still shooting on 35mm at this time. HD had just become a thing.
Wow.
So all of this is on 35mm. So I'm learning how to work with that medium. A lot of it was like 16, super 16. So that was super cool to have that experience and be able to work around that. I mean, we're talking like people having to go into like a dark truck to change the camera reels, you know, like it's a stop down for 15 minutes. It was, man, it was cool. So I basically just kept meeting people on set and like being nice and being helpful and being engaged and like keeping to myself and really just asking a ton of questions. So I just kept looking for a feature. So now I've got all this really cool demo material for all these thesis movies that are coming out. And now I'm kind of building a little bit of an IMDb. So now I have a little bit of a resume to give to people. So I see this like, it was the same girl, actually. The very first feature I ever did was the same girl who gave me the opportunities to work with UCLA. Mm-hmm. And here's a mistake. This story is great, but it also was a hard, hard lesson that I needed to learn very fast. So she had called me because there was one day, the very first day of filming this feature she was going to be on. I was like screaming inside. I'm like, oh my God, it's a feature. I get to work on a movie, like an actual movie. This is so cool. Cause she had gotten such good feedback from all of her connections over at UCLA. So she was like, cover me on this one day on this job. And I'm like, okay, cool. And it was like an 18-day feature. And it's got all these famous people in it, like D-list. We're not talking like A-listers, but it's got all these D-list people. It was $100 a day. So I'm like, I'm rolling in cash.
Yeah, double the money.
$100 a day, but I'm only doing one day on this. So I get there the very first day and it's we're shooting all of the emotional stuff. Like it's basically a fight with a couple that her boyfriend's on drugs and he's selling to somebody who's like really, really shady. And I had to do some tattoos on the shady guy that comes in and they end up like jacking this guy in a car. So it was a really hard like day. There was blood, whatever. But I had like kind of bonded with the actress on the very first day. And so she went to the producers and was like, can we just have her here every day? Like, please, like she's so supportive. I think intuitively, because I had been a theater actor before, I just kind of intuitively knew to take care of actors and like, are you doing okay? Do you need anything? Like paying attention if they're having a hard scene, like if they need a breath, like, do you need some water? Just kind of, you know, trying to help them out. But she really appreciated the care that was taken. So she went to the producers, asked if I could stay. And they were like, hey, do you want to stay on for the rest of the film? And I was like, okay. I didn't even think about it. I know.
I just got chills.
I know, but this is good and horribly bad. So then I didn't think about it, because what my response in retrospect should have been was, hey, you should probably call the original artist and see if she's okay with that. But I never did. I was just so excited that they wanted to keep me. I was like, oh, she'll understand. Like, yeah, sure. Like, I'm so excited. Dumb.
Oh no.
So essentially they hired me for the rest of the film. She has not talked to me ever since then.
Oh no. You know what? I can totally relate with the story, because I did the exact same thing. It just goes over your head. You don't even think about it. I got a job with Petco because of this girl that referred me, and we would like refer each other jobs back and forth. And they asked me to like, cause I had to like sign a W-2 or something, you know, to get more work with them. And I didn't even think about that. And then it caused this weird energy that, like, I swear I just put my foot in my mouth sometimes and I'm like, oh. So I think that's a lesson that everyone's going to learn down the line though. Just make sure that you are connecting with the person that got you the role in the first place and making sure that's
exactly.
Oh gosh.
I know. And honestly, to this day, like we ended up in, later down the road, I ended up in the same beauty retailer kind of circle as her. And I would see her name floating around and she worked for a different brand than I did, but I'm like, oh my God. And I ran into her in store one day and she would not even look at me. And I get it. Like, I'm not even mad. So girl, if you're listening to this and you know, this story is about you, I am so sorry. I was a dumb kid, but, I didn't know that is like really something that you should do, is make sure that you're turning the job back to the person. So needless to say, I get this feature. I finished the feature. I ended up getting screwed anyway, because they didn't pay me for the last week and a half of filming.
Oh no.
Yeah. So we start wrapping. Nobody is available to write me a check. It ends up being like, it was like $1,300. So it was like the last 13 days. So this, actually, I think we were filming for like 30 days. It was a long, long film. So they owed me like $1,300, and because I could not get a hold of anybody to pay me, I couldn't pay my rent.
Oh my gosh. Because
I had gone so long without having a job. I was like, cool, I'm out of money. I think by this point, me and my boyfriend had broken up because he didn't understand. Again, we're like 19, 20 years old. He doesn't understand why I'm gone for 15 hours a day and making $100. He's like, how? Like, this doesn't even make any sense. So I think he had started a narrative in his head that I was seeing somebody else, but all that to say, that's, you know, it's really hard in relationships, and that I had already been told that when I was in school, and I realized like, oh, this is what they mean, because there's no convincing somebody, especially when you're getting started, like how much space you need to be able to, chase that. It's a very difficult, time consuming dream to chase, but, it can be done. So I just basically worked on that feature. I got another movie after that where I learned another hard lesson about the role of an assistant director. I was really mouthy. Like if you really sent me over the edge about something, I would tell you. on a film set, you can't really do that with the AD, no matter how big of a dick they are. So I had gotten this movie and I was only getting paid like $75 a day. And quite honestly, to this day, I can't stand this guy. I don't think I would have had a different reaction. He was incredibly misogynistic and talked down to me in the wardrobe, where we were the only women on set. And it was really intimidating. This guy's like in his 30s and he's talking to like 20-year-old women like we're slaves.
I hate that.
Yeah, and I wasn't having it. And that was like my first experience of like, oh, misogyny does exist in the industry. So I had basically on the last day, I couldn't take it anymore. And I yelled at him about being misogynist, and then the director fired me on the last day. But I'm like, good luck finding a makeup artist for tomorrow. It's 2 a.m. and you guys are starting at 10 a.m. Needless to say, they didn't have a makeup artist for the last day, I found out. But whatever, it's not my problem. So, you know, learning, I think the biggest thing was like learning every lesson from all of those places. And really like in the moment, learning those lessons, not waiting 10 years to like look back and be like, oh, you know, I shouldn't have done that. It was like the minute I got fired, I was like, oh, fuck, like I should not have mouthed off. Like even I shouldn't have been quiet because of the situation, but I also should have handled it differently. That's kind of how I got started in film. It was just like you just meet somebody and they bring you on. And that just kind of kept happening. And then I, had worked with a few of those students outside of UCLA when they would like do a PA job, they would recommend me for stuff. So that's kind of how I got my foot in the door.
It's about who you know. Oh my gosh, this just makes me so excited. Like I'm so obsessed with your stories. So I just want to break down some stuff and recap for everybody who's listening right now, because I get this question all of the time. Literally just had someone yesterday ask me about this exact same thing. Like they're new to the city where they just moved and they want to get into the film industry. So I just want to talk about the persistence that you have, like how many times that people said no to you. So this doesn't only matter like how for you it was Craigslist, but even with social media now, you know, there's always somebody who has an in. And if you're not getting told no, then you're probably not reaching out enough, right? You're not getting out of your comfort zone enough and just going for what it is that, you know, that lights you up. So another thing I want to point out in your story that just makes me so excited is like how fast you were to let go of a job that wasn't serving you in order to pursue something that did light you up, because that is such a magical thing that you have to just learn the hard way. And you know, when you let go of things that are not serving you, I say this all the time, you create space in an energetic world. You create space for something new. And when you're working on stuff that lights you up, that doesn't feel like work, you're attracting more of those things, because that's where all your energy is going to. Absolutely. And your boyfriend too. Oh, that's like, oh, I love that you touched on this, because I like to say that it's hard to, you know, like be with somebody that isn't in that position in their life too, or have at least been in that position where they're pursuing something.
Yes.
And, you know what I mean? And even though it was hard, you know, for that part in your life, especially being so young, like people are the biggest energy blocks too. And I've seen people where they've like broken up with guys just because the guys were like holding them back, and they've manifested every single thing that they've been waiting for once they let that person go. So like that's
beyond real. Honestly, I just had that experience this past year also. So we can get into that too, but it is no joke. Like, get rid of jobs, like just quit. Who cares? Like, unless it's, you can, especially if it's retail or like dining service, like you can get a job anywhere tomorrow. Just keep that in mind. I know that sounds crazy. Like, it just sounds insane if you're used to like the security of a paycheck, but like, just have a little bit of savings, like an emergency fund. And you can literally just go job to job. Who cares? Like, whatever. Cause they don't care about you. So why do you care about them? You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. So I get this question all the time, but, more about like the payment structure. So a lot of people say like, oh, but it's only like $100 a day or $50 a day. Like, you know, it really depends on where you're at in the industry and how much you want to like pursue it. So I just want to talk more about like rates wise. Like, if someone is just now getting in the film industry and they're building up their website and their rates and stuff, like how would they go about doing that?
Right. So I think when you have no resume, and this might be controversial, in my opinion, I didn't have any right to ask for money. I just didn't. They offered it to me, and it was in the form of like a kit fee, right? So they're like, we don't want you to spend money to work for us, so I will pay for all of your product. But technically, they weren't paying me. But at the time, $50, it was fine because my school loans, I had like 2 years to start paying them. So really, I mean, my rent was like, I think it was like $27 a day at the time. So really it was enough for like my rent and my gas for my car. Right.
And what can you explain the kit fee real fast?
Oh yeah. So a kit fee is essentially where they just give you like a flat rate, based on the value of your kit, to cover your expendables. And it actually technically doesn't even really cover expendables. What your kit fee is actually built for is to cover the cost of equipment. So it's hard line things that plug into the wall. So like curling irons, you're actually rolling kit, chairs, tables, lights, things like that. It's meant to actually cover that. Typically in the film industry, your expendable things like actual makeup or disposables is covered by a separate budget. But when you're first getting started, they don't usually have a budget unless they're special effects. So you're essentially using what you already have in your kit to complete the job, but they're paying to rent the equipment from you, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. Yeah, a lot of people get asked that question a lot too. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So essentially what I find to be really important, and I wish I would have known then, is really you need to figure out how much it costs you every day to do your job, right? So you can figure out when you're starting out. I'm not saying this is something you should be doing later down the road. You should still know how much it costs you to do your job. So I'm talking per face. Really, if you know how much it costs you to do per face, somebody can call you and be like, hey, can you do this for $75? And you're like, cool, it cost me like $562 a face. Maybe you can add that into a kit fee and you can be like, hey, you can literally tell them it cost me $562 per person. You have 10 actors. I need $70 or whatever to cover my kit fee just to do the actors for the day. So you can do it that way. As like a negotiating tool. But I honestly expect to really get like $50 to $100 a day when you're very first starting, have no credits. Then once you have like one or two credits, and this can be short films, it can be like a music video, it can be anything, it can be an assisting credit. Then you have a little more clout because they're like, okay, she's done something before. So maybe I can give her $75 a day, a kit fee, or I can give her $100 a day kit fee. And then you're kind of like, when you're first starting, you're kind of in this fast pace of being able to build your rate quicker. So you can almost like give yourself a raise for what you're asking for a lot more frequently during the year. Actually, every couple of months, you can really look at, okay, this past couple of months, I did like 17 short films. That's a lot. but say you have a really cool hookup and you're doing short films in 2 days. You're like, cool, I've got this whole body of work now. I've got tons of credits. Maybe I can ask for like $150 a day or $200 a day. Depending on the level of projects you're getting. And then you can start to present yourself to department heads as like, hey, I've been on set before. I've worked around a crew. I know what a honey wagon is. you don't have to hold my hand, basically. And so somebody like me would be more willing to trust you because you have a little more experience, at least being on a set around a camera and kind of learning etiquette. And then eventually you're building those rates into like what is going to create profit for you and what is going to create the lifestyle that you want to create. But that's a little bit down the road. So when you're first starting in film specifically, even editorial, sometimes you don't get paid to do these covers of magazines. It's really important to keep your mind on getting the work under your belt. The money will come. But manifesting basically that rate that you're looking to eventually achieve by just doing the work and being excited to be there, because that energy by itself, if you're not focused on the money, you're focused on the job, will genuinely give you work after work after work.
Oh, I love that. That makes such a valid point, because you're just giving amazing quality, you know, and that's what people look for. And, you know, I was actually on set the other day, and it's funny because there was one model there that just hated modeling. She was so done with it. Like, she did not want to do it anymore. And then there was another model who was just now starting out, and she was so excited to be there. She was so giddy. She was happy that she was getting paid. Like, it was just a whole reality. And it really depends on where you guys are at in your industry, you know, where you're at in your career. Cause like, if you're that person that's like so eager and excited to be there, like, people want to be around that, right? They want to just be around someone who appreciates all of the work that's going into, especially like film. I just love seeing, I'll never watch a movie like the same way. You know, there's so much work that goes into that, and being a part of it is, it really, really, I truly believe is an honor.
That's such a good comparison too, because it is, it really is like, You make jokes the further down the line you go. Now, like, now I'm at the point where like I'm around all these like jaded grips and gaffers, right? And those are the electricians that light the show. And it's just funny because they're just like, oh yeah, I'm here another day, I'm living the dream. And you're like, come on, bro. Like, we're literally making a movie. Like, people are gonna watch this and love it. And there's characters in this. Like, we're telling stories. And you just kind of think to yourself, like, of all, granted, I'm not saying everything should be like, you know, a walk in the park every time. Like, there is some hard jobs I've had where you're just like, I hate this. What am I doing? Mm-hmm. But I honestly think that really, if you're finding yourself on a set and you're kind of like, I don't like that model that was just kind of like, I'm over it. If you're ever over it in this business, it's too many hours and too hard to maintain relationships to have that type of jaded attitude towards it, if that makes sense. Like, it's this very slippery slope once you start to not really care about what you're doing anymore. So pay attention to that energy all of the time. Like, how am I feeling today? Like, do I feel good about being here? Do I want to be doing this? Because there's so many things you can do with makeup. So like, for example, after I worked on all those short films, I was like, I want to work on some editorial stuff. So I started hitting up all the photographers because I couldn't find any more filmmakers to work with. And for me, editorial was just not, and you're going to love this phrase, and I heard somebody else say this, so I don't even want to take credit for this, but I was not an energetic match for, I was not an energetic match for editorial. Like, I was like late all the time, which is weird for me. I didn't care about being on time, which is already a red flag for me internally. If I'm like, oh, I'll be there, I'm 5 minutes late. I'm not like excessive, but I was just like, okay, whatever. I didn't like want to prep for those shoots. I found myself being a little irritated about the speed of changes. I also had a certain patience level when I was a lot younger. Now I'm like, I got the patience of a saint. and I think that I learned that from being, sitting on set with nothing to do on a lot of things. You just kind of learn to be patient through the process. But I find myself so much more excitable and happy when I'm on an actual film set. Like, I see an Ari camera and I'm like, yes. Like, I get so geeked out over like, okay, what kind of camera do we have? Cool. And we've got like, dude, look at this dope crane we have today. Like, look at this jib. And I get like very excited about film equipment. So I know that now, like, I'm definitely in the right space. I never got excited by a softbox.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, here we are. We're going to shoot this skirt. Like, yay. You know, and that's okay. Like, that's completely okay. But as you're going through your career, pay attention to how a day makes you feel. And if you're feeling that way for a period of time, you know, maybe reassess which direction you're going.
Yeah. And usually you'll run into stuff like that because you're just getting realigned of where you're supposed to be. I love that. Absolutely. That's such one of the best lessons ever. I get so giddy.
It really is. And that is something that typically you learn over time, like the length of a career span. It's not something that you just are like, oh, that's intuitive. But it's something that can honestly fast track you if you're paying attention, because you'll be like, I'm in the right space now. This is perfect for me. Whereas if you're just kind of floating around, like looking for something to do, you know, we get this, I hear a lot, and I have the same attitude, like, I'm going to do everything. And I was told in school, like, you need to pick a path and go down it. And I was like, nah, I can do editorial. I can learn bridal. I can do this. I can do that. My stupid business card said like film, TV, print, bridal. And I'm like, no, don't do all that. Like, first of all, the filmmakers want you to be like film and TV specific. You can still moonlight, but they want you to be film and TV specific. Same with editorial people. I feel like, and you know, Vogue is not going to call me. You know, yeah. I'm fine with that. Like, they're not going to call me. They're going to call an agency artist. An agency artist's entire time is used to build their portfolio so that they can get these massive clients. And sure, they're doing Target commercials, but I'm not getting called for a Target commercial, and I don't care. I'm fine with that, you know?
Oh my gosh, this is just so good. This makes me so excited. Okay, so I already know we're going to have to do a part two, because there's just so many things that I love talking about with you.
I'm down.
And, but I wanted to talk a little bit before we get into the last part here, is like, what's the difference with actually like doing the makeup on set? So we went over how to get hired and kind of get your foot in the door and know somebody, but like, what's different with the makeup? Cause like for me, bridal, I went from bridal makeup and doing everything, like you just said, like I bridal and all this stuff. And then I went to film and they're like, make her look sad. And I was like, what? You know, it's weird because you're putting so much makeup on people. And then you go from like putting like makeup, no makeup look. So like, what's kind of like the everyday makeup look that you do when you're like doing makeup for someone on set?
Dang, girl, you have some good questions. wow, that is actually really good. Really good question. So kind of going, I'm going to take it a step back just when we were talking about like the energetic match part of it. I will say this. When you're first starting, because you've got that like excitable energy and you're really like, I'm going to do everything, I do actually suggest that everybody try at least doing everything to find where they fit, right? So like some people who never thought they would be interested in bridal, first of all, it's damn good money very quickly. But you might find that you really like being in service to another person. Like what gets you excited and out of bed is to make somebody feel gorgeous, right? You're kind of doing a little bit of everything. And I think, and so I guess this is where, why I was thinking about the bridal thing. So I think all of those things are important because you create this like bank of information in your mind, right? So you're kind of observing life because that's what you're imitating as you're doing film. You're essentially, so somebody, you know, you've got this scripted character, you're pulling out notes that are specifically written, but you're really creating a story for somebody visually. And maybe, you know, they had a hard past life and they came from like the hood of Stockton, California, like where I kind of grew up in that area. So like my observation of girls that have that kind of life, like she would probably wear like a little bit of lip liner and she would probably wear like an eyeliner, but maybe now she's a lawyer, right? So the story takes off from when she was a lawyer, but the story you're telling is of her past life and where she's going. So you kind of have to like build a character bank in your brain when you're doing film. So like same thing with a bride. So like say in the script, it's this bridezilla, right? The director's not usually, sometimes they'll give you very specific direction, but with beauty, they don't tend to. But what you can do to have fun and make it exciting for you is you can be like, hey, so in 2004, I had this crazy bride. She had red hair like our actress, and she was nuts. And she like threw a plate. This isn't a real story, by the way. I'm just making
something. Oh my gosh.
And she like threw a plate at the wall because she was so pissed at her mom. But she really liked super bronzy cheeks, and she liked a really sculpted, you know, whatever. And she wanted gold on her eye, and her dress was like hideous. And it all kind of reminds me of the story that we're telling about this actress. Would it be cool if I modeled the makeup based on that? And she's like, usually your director is going to be stoked that you have an idea like that.
Cool.
So then you're like, okay, cool. I'm literally going to recreate that makeup that I did 15 years ago on this crazy bride. And nobody knows that story but you, But it makes it so much more exciting when you're watching your work back. You're like, damn, I did that, because you are kind of using like real life examples in your work. So I think that's kind of the process. Typically on movies, I am working mostly with clean beauty. You're just making people look pretty without being heavy. And it is a lot lighter handed than like a bridal. You're hardly ever contouring unless you are working with somebody very specific that needs it. But for the most part, the lighting team is doing all of that contouring on the face for you. You don't need to do all of that. So you can drop a lot of, unless you're working in black and white or a dark lighting situation. So there's a lot of adjustments that might need to happen. And that's why we're on monitor all day long and seeing what it looks like in the camera. Cause sometimes you'll go ask, like, typically if I'm working on a movie, I'll ask a DP, if I know it's an emotional scene, what's the lighting going to look like for this? Mm. And they'll tell you it's going to be really shadowy. And you're like, okay, cool. I need to add a little bit more contour to her face, cause the light is probably going to blow all that away. Or if you're in a hospital, my God, same thing. All that fluorescent lighting.
Oh, I hate that lighting.
Me too. It's like, oh God, well, here we go. So essentially you want to do, if you can, that makeup in that light so that they still look natural, but it might look unnatural to your eye, but it looks fine on camera because of the lighting. So it really just depends on where you are, but you're mostly, you're a tool for the lighting department. And I know that sounds strange, but you're essentially, they're sculpting with light and you're sculpting with makeup. And then together you guys are making a human on like show up on film.
Oh, I love this. This is such a good explanation, because not a lot of people, like, I think have that much experience of like actually doing the makeup on set, you know, like I love how when you're on a team like that, like you're the expert in your field and you don't really have anybody else to like turn to. So that, I know that this episode is going to like help somebody, but you know, that's the magical thing about working on set is like, what I noticed the other day is that like, wow, like that person's the expert in wardrobe. This person is an expert on hair. And then we're all just coming together and you can just literally do something like putting powder on somebody before, you know, they go on set and they're like, wow, you did such a good job. And it's like, it makes you just feel like, wow, your part is really, really needed. And, you know, when you work together with a team like that, you just, it's really fun. I don't know.
It really is. And like, it doesn't have to be what's just on the page, you know, like I was saying earlier about like using prior experience. So like, it could even not be a prior experience. There was one movie that I did where like the storyline is basically this woman is like older, she's a lawyer, and she's looking for a husband. And she ends up sleeping with this much younger man. And then she runs into them in like a shoe store. And the woman, the girl that he's cheating on her with, he's buying her a pair of shoes, but she's got like this really pretty like gold smoky eye on. So in the movie, and from the point where she meets them in that shoe store through the end of the movie, I made her makeup look exactly like that girl that they saw in the store, because she wants to feel younger, right? Because it wasn't anything we explored. We didn't talk about it in the script, but I told the director, listen, I think that would, for a woman, like if you run into the woman that you're being cheated on with, right? You're like, why are you doing this to me with that person? So I feel like an older woman, especially if she's somebody who's like 20 years younger, subconsciously is going to want to emulate the way that that girl looks, because that in our heads as women is where we go immediately. Like, I want to be like her, even though you don't, you're like disgusted by her, but you're also like low key, she had a good smoky eye. Okay. so you can kind of do little subtle things like that. And I don't even know if it was a discussion. I think I just did it. And then I pointed it out to the director later and she was like, holy shit. Thank you. Like, that's like a whole other layer that I didn't even think about. And I was like, yeah, you just kind of, I have to make it fun. Cause that movie was actually quite boring for me, but because it was only two cast members, but you really have to, well, three technically, but you have to just like make it fun for yourself. And you can tell so many stories through that and have fun, you know, with film makeup.
Oh gosh, this is so good. I love that we touched that you're creating a character. It's so different, guys. Okay. I want to make sure we have a little bit of time left to talk about the amazing things that you are doing and everything that you're doing with the planner. So first, just a really short cap on how you started the planner and who is it for?
So I essentially started the makeup artist edition. It's called the Freelancer. I did I made a planner basically because I was using like 5 different ones. I had one to like organize my like business basically. And then I was using a separate ledger to take care of my finances, to kind of track what I was making, to hand over to my tax person. I really like tactile things. I like a book. So like QuickNotes doesn't excite me. Neither does most apps that are out there. And I was like, I like a tactile format to keep track of my money and know how much I'm making. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like combine this into like a one place. And so I was using like a side column in a planner that I had bought from another company that was, I was like using a ruler, and it was just getting to be too much where I was like redesigning planners I was buying on the market. And I had been talking to a friend about it on the beach one day. We were just hanging out. And I was like, I kind of think I want to make like a planner for like makeup artists. And she kind of was like, okay, like what would that look like? And so I started sketching it in my iPad. And I was just like doing it in GoodNotes, and I was like, okay, it could have like this thing. And then it honestly, that file is really funny because nothing in that file is actually what made it to the planner. But as I was thinking about it, I'm like, I'm just going to do it. Like, nobody knows who I am. It's fine. Like, it'll either find a market or it won't. We'll try it. Like, it's fine. And it was an expensive endeavor because I'm the only investor in it, but I didn't even ask anybody else. But I was like, what's the worst that happens? People don't care about it. And I was like, there's no way that people aren't going to like this though. And I checked it, and there wasn't really anything that existed that was just like it. So I really wanted to make it an educational tool / planning. So it wasn't just like a planner. I wanted it to kind of bring you back in every month with like a business topic, like things that I've learned over all of these years doing this. Regardless of whether, because I did spend 8 years doing beauty retail too. Like, I took a break from film and I was working as an executive in a beauty company. So I have all these different business aspects that I've learned over the years that I was like, this could really help someone if they just like focus on negotiating for a month, or they focus on like personal budgeting, or if they want to think about like, God, I don't know, self-care was one of 2020's topics. So every year I was like, I'm going to also make this almost like a collector's item. So if you miss the education for the year, that's it. Sorry, honey. So every year the topics are different. Every year the art theme is different. I get bored of being in the same place all the time. I would get bored of the same planner every year. So I make sure that the art theme is completely different every year. I'm already working on 2022. And it's completely different than 2021 in the way that it's designed. So every year we'll have like a different art theme that I kind of, again, sort of that storytelling thing. I sneakily make the themes something that is a part of me. So I'm sort of like this, like, I'm with you, like on your journey. And it's just this weird little thing I slip in that I don't really talk about often. But it is really important that, that people do know that I make them so that there's like a little piece of something I love, or some sort of nostalgia, or something that I can be with you on your journey. Cause you know, I can't talk to everybody, but it's also like a mentoring book. So all those lessons kind of treat it like a mentor session. Like, this is what I would go over with you. Then in the front of it, there's also for people that do want to do editorial, but maybe get called up for a commercial and they're like, I don't know what anybody's saying on this walkie talkie. Oh my God, what is a 10? Oh, what is a 10-1? So I put in like a chunk of walkie talk speak in there for people. I also put in a whole directory of like set positions, like what the hell is a first AC? When you don't work on a film set, you don't know. You're like, what is that? All of
the lingo, it's so different. Yeah.
And everything is abbreviated. Nobody wants to say first assistant camera director. That's like a mouthful. So they say first AC. So there's all of these sort of like dictionary kind of terms for people. There's a whole color wheel, very basic for just remembering. For 2021, I had been working a lot in black and white art films. They're kind of making a comeback. So in the beginning of 2020, before the lockdown, I had been doing a ton of black and white. So I was like, I'm going to do a color wheel translated for black and white photography. So that way, you know how color is affected by black and white. So next to the color wheel is a black and white color wheel, and the exact same thing. And I put like a ledger in there every month so you can keep track of your money. I just basically wanted it to be like, you get out of school, even if you are super seasoned and you're just like, I just want to keep better track of everything. Mm. That way you could just have your planner and everything is in one place and you can be like, okay, I got this, because it is super confusing how to even keep track of your money, figure out how much you're spending, unless you're really, really good with like computer programs, which I'm not, and like spreadsheets. It's really easy to lose control of your finances as a freelancer. So I really wanted one central place for people to be able to take control of their careers.
Oh gosh, this is a total manifestation. Mm-hmm. If you guys haven't already seen the planner, obviously I'm going to link everything in the bio so you guys can see. And we've also done we did a giveaway last time with the planner. She was so grateful. Yeah. She made this whole video. What else? And then I don't know if I told you this, but the last round of the Makeup Mentor Mastermind, that was a bonus. So everybody that was in the last round, I gave them one of those. Like I just if anybody joins like within the first few days, like taking that intuitive action, I give them a prize. And I was like, ooh, I want to do, I want to do the planner. So that was my bonus last time. So I don't even know if I told you that, but, let's see. We got about 2 minutes left. Where can everybody find you?
So you can find me on all social platforms as Alisha Movie Makeup. It's just Alisha Movie Makeup. You can also find the planner at Makeup Artist Planner on Instagram. I am also on Facebook, but I don't really use it. So you guys can go on there if you like. And I'm also on Clubhouse now. So if anybody Clubhouse. That's an interesting new app, but if you guys have a Clubhouse invite and you guys are on there, I am part of a special effects club on there. So sometimes we go in and just talk about special effects for movies and TV.
Oh, I love that. So cool. Okay. Yeah. Someone just gave me an invite today. That's why I was so excited.
Oh my God. Good. Yeah, you have so much fun on there.
Personally invited. Yeah, I think I haven't been on yet, so I'm excited. That's another thing why I circle back to me. Okay, I have one last question that I ask every single person on my episode. And this is just a exercise that I like to do to help people just tap into what your intuition is telling you to do right now. You ready?
Yes.
So the question is, if you had $1 million... in your bank account right now, like an extra $1 million out of nowhere, it's not taxed. You still have whatever it is that you got to do today. You still got to go to work at 1 o'clock. Actually, look at the time right now. You see what time it is?
No, is it 11:11?
Yep.
Stop.
I know. Okay.
I can't even see. Somebody texted me, so I can't see, but that's amazing.
Okay. What would you do right now?
With $1 million extra dollars.
Not taxed.
Ooh, not taxed. Dang. Honestly, I think I would. Well, I'd probably buy a house.
Wow. That
seems like the smart investment. I'd probably buy a house, but I would buy a house in New Mexico, near the new Netflix studios, so that I could be a big fish in a small pond there. And then I would rent it out for a while they get that studio situated, and I would probably do like a whole like European tour, and I would go to like Australia and New Zealand. But I think I would stay in Australia to try to get a hold of the department heads for Mad Max, the Furiosa movie that's about to start shooting, because it's my ultimate dream to work on a Mad Max movie. So I think I would spend every penny I had trying to track those people down. Honestly, and support myself while I was in Australia trying to get a hold of these people so that I could work on their movie.
Okay, first off, I'm coming to Australia to see you.
Done. I have $1 million. I could totally pay for you.
See, isn't this great? So here's the trick. Now do it all without $1 million. And then the money will come. That's the way it works.
That's so funny, because I am actually trying to work on that.
So excited.
Okay. Without the money. So I'm not gonna, I don't know, maybe I still will get the house in New Mexico, but because that is like all future plan. But yeah, that's amazing. Cool. I'm gonna do it.
I guess
next
many
podcast
chills.
You're gonna be like, dang, she did it.
I know. I'm just so excited. I already know that we have to do a whole new episode, because I want to dive super deep into like how you started the planner and everything that's taking off. So again, I just want to thank you so much for your time and energy. I know you got another job today, so I really appreciate you making this happen and sharing your story.
Thank you. I'm a wealth of advice. So anything that you need to know, I'm an open book.
Yeah. Make sure you guys screenshot this and tag us in one thing that you loved. So, alrighty guys, we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Makeup Mentor podcast. If this episode resonated with you, if it helped educate you, or it just changed your perspective in any way, shape, or form, please stop what you're doing right now. Take a screenshot and tag me on Instagram at the Makeup Mentor podcast, and you will be rewarded with a free journal prompt just for sharing. Or you can head over to my website and learn about working with me one-on-one, breaking down those money blocks, taking your business to the next level, and possibly even being a guest on the show. Thank you guys again so much for listening to this episode, and we will see you next week.